If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine one life and love. That is the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. This evening, our seminar topic is there an elephant in your room? All right. So let's just leave the elephant there for a moment as we take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the divinity and purity that is your true eternal self. Take another deep breath and own that I am pure divine spirit. I am forever one with all that is. And that all that is one omnipresent unified field that is intensely sensitive to you, because as consciousness, you are the only creative agency in cosmos. You, as divine Atma, through the focus of your conscious intent, cause the atoms, unqualified, in an innocent quantum field of loving potential, to become excited and to coalesce in agreement, in an exact match of the energy that you are putting out. Get a sense of that, if you will, if you can. This is the time to do that. Lay aside all other thoughts, all other agendas. Turn off your cell phones. Sit up. Pay attention. This could be the seminar in which you awakened from the nightmare that you've assumed was life, but is nothing more than a misidentifying of self and a misqualifying of energy that you're trying to make real. So take another deep breath and occupy your divinity, your purity, your immortal oneness with infinite source and creation. And we ask at this time for all those that are the benefactors, the teachers, the master forms, the angelic helpers that coalesce in their multitudes around each person listening this evening, that there could be an assistance, their grace, for the parting of the veils of illusion. That wiggle room could be allowed for something amazing to happen. That each person could awaken and come alive in a new understanding of self. Something totally unexpected that could happen just by your willingness to allow something born of pure love to be given to you as a free gift. You are living in the age of the Holy Spirit. the age of miracles, the age in which we can lay aside the restrictions of time and every other illusory limitation and really go out on the limb of bodacious, outrageous trust and allow something marvelous to happen. It's an inside job, beloveds. But it could also be matched by outer experiential scenarios that unfold in serendipitous ways, wooing you, courting you, romancing you back into wholeness. So let's open and allow, if we will, if we could, that possibility this evening. It doesn't require time. The only purpose of time is to remember just this, that you've never been here at all, in any real sense. Everything you've ever suffered from has been simply a nightmare. A nightmare that a minute, the very second it arose within your holy mind, was instantly corrected by the Divine Spirit. So whenever you're in a negative unfolding experiential scenario, you are but revisiting the past, something that was long ago dealt with and dispelled. So time is that parenthesis in eternity in which you return from time and the illusion of time and separation and fear to immortal love. For this dream passage through time and space is only for the purpose of awakening to your true identity as immortal love. Know that divinity is purity, and you are only pure divinity. Anything less than that is an illusion that you bought into, from which you will awaken. It is scripted in. It is inevitable. You are destined for full awakening in the heart of God. And when you awaken in original innocence and find that in highest truth you've never left the heart of God, oh my heavens, the relief and the rejoicing and the hallelujahs that will burst forth in unending joyous celebration. So it's time to get real about addressing our miscreations. Know this. Every time you create binding karma, it is because you're trying to make an illusion real. That's why it doesn't work. It's not supposed to work. Truth is what is supported and, let's say, enhanced and assisted throughout creation, not the illusion. So karmic bondage occurs when you are in some way misidentifying the self that you are in terms of separation. When you operate through judgment and the viewpoint of separation, you are misqualifying the energies of your divine creative intelligence. Always remember, there is but one omnipresent, all-pervasive quantum field of pregnant potential that you could call the mind of God. But that mind is your mind and my mind, for there is only one divine creative source and one mind. and one love and one life and one intelligence, appearing as the many. And you, as a divine spirit, are that one that is dreaming and awakening and dreaming and awakening. It is as the in-breathing and the out-breathing of the all that is. As it plays the divine lila, it's a divine dance, a play through time and space and being and becoming. And the trick is to do that and to be awake and stay awake while you're doing it. That state brings you into what is called the living free, the Jivan Mukta. That individual that, even though he or she is in the world, is free, has awakened within the dream, and delights in playing the divine lila, but sort of like a method, not a method actor, but an actor, no longer a method actor, because a method actor becomes so identified with a form that they're embodying in that role, that they lose all sense of who they truly are. So in a sense, we've all become method actors that have bought into the play of creation, so much so we've become lost and therefore entrapped, seemingly, in it. Not in any real sense, but we believe we're trapped. And so it's done unto us as we have believed. So let's look at some facts here. Number one, you as a creative spirit are held responsible for the energies you express. You always receive back the same energies that you've sent forth. In spirit, giving and receiving are one action, like the echo and re-echoing of one sound. As consciousness, which is another term for soul, you cause the atoms of creation to take form. The exact energy and form replicates your thoughts and feelings and intentions in exact same manner. And so your thoughts and feelings and intentions take form and appear as the conditions and people in your life, as if they were separate and apart. And therein lies the illusion, the Maya. How clever this Maya is, the samsara, this field of illusion. It is like if you've ever driven out in a hot desert, you would swear that there's a puddle of water a few feet in front of your vehicle. And it's amazing to watch how it vanishes when you get close to it. In exact same analogy, the closer you get to God in your, let's say, attunement and identification of self, the more the Maya of the appearing mirage of creation as separate from Source begins to vanish. I just came out of a 4-day training with my group, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, and it was the conference of one accord. And during one of the exercises, I went into a state called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is a state where all the agitations that arise within the thinking, projecting ego mind vanish. And you just simply are in pure divinity without any extension into otherness whatsoever. It was amazing because I had asked before the training inwardly if I could have a conscious experience of God realization. Because I've had many experiences of Nirvikalpa and Savikalpa, which is where you have a retention of some separate identity, even though you're in God, you still have a sense of being somewhat apart from God. That's called Savikalpa. Vikalpa is an agitation of the mind that causes a phenomenal appearance to occur. Sa means with agitation. Savi kalpa samadhi. And nir vikalpa, nir means without, without agitation. So I've been in and out of those states many times in meditation. But I'm a soul that wants to have my eyes wide open, and I want a conscious and ever-present experience of God without having to distract myself with meditational techniques or having to separate myself from life. I want to walk this earth with eyes wide open, beholding the face of God wherever I look. That has been my consistent practice for my whole life, really. And so I really wasn't expecting anything. I simply placed my focus entirely upon the eyes of my teacher, John Roger, whose picture was upon the screen. And no matter what the distraction was in the room, I kept my eyes single upon those portals into the infinite realms of divinity that those eyes are. All eyes are doorways and portals into the infinite love and heart of the all that is. But when a soul is at that stage of God realization, such as my teacher, John Roger, even more so they become like escalators that accelerate your spiritual movement of inner awareness into infinite realms that by yourself, given your own abilities, probably you couldn't get in there to that degree. We've recently done several shows on the power of the eyes and the gaze and the tawaji or tiwaja, which is the gaze of God. And so in that tawaji, that direct gaze of God, as I looked without distraction into those radiant orbs or eyes, and it was a photograph. So it doesn't matter. It can be a photograph. It can be the form. But suddenly I felt myself very consciously rise up in my energy field. And normally there's some point in which my body will dematerialize into pure light. And I can tell when that happens because then the room dematerializes into pure light. But there at some point you have to rematerialize again. And so this time I had a totally different experience. I didn't see the room dissolve in pure light. I went in conscious God awareness into God. But it was so interesting because I was so far beyond the ability to express any kind of thought, any kind of movement, any kind of otherness or reaction or reaction response to otherness, that I was in wide open-eyed transcendental samadhi. Samadhi is the word that means equal-mindedness. Sama is equal, di is buddhi, or that higher divine mind. So samadhi is a state where you see everything as the one, and it has equal value. In fact, you don't even see it as the one. You are the one that is. It's a state of purest being. Now, normally a person can't talk about these things, but I've been called to speak about these states in clear English, in descriptive manner from my direct experience, so that you also can begin to gain your own conscious reference points to your own purity and divinity. We all have equal access. No one is denied if they really want to see. When you are ready to give up the gameplay of pretending like you're a poor, pitiful victim, victimized by an awful world, when you're ready to just quietly lay that aside and own yourself, you will find that there's only love. All of these dire scenarios are concoctions of the ego self that loves fear-driven drama. It lives for it. If there isn't some horrid thing to be afraid of, it will think of a million things to hopefully generate your entrainment and therefore your entrapment and bondage. Live as a divine clown. Don't take anything here in this phenomenal world seriously. Laugh, lighten up. Realize that in highest truth you've never left the heart of God. To believe anything less than that is simply not true. So, the energy that you emit is matched as an identical manifestation in your life. So pay attention to the energy that you are sending forth, because the law is that you're responsible for it, and you're going to have to give an accounting for it. Everything that you send forth, only you can clear. Why? Because you're the creator, the allower, the projector, the perpetrator of that particular energy momentum, and you're responsible for ending cycle on it. You're responsible for transmuting or transforming it. You're responsible for changing your viewpoint. That's often called soul travel or soul transcendence. You change the way you look at something if you want to change it in its outer manifestation. At all points in the continuum of creation, you are the sole arbiter as to how it appears and how it comes down and how it plays back to you. No one else is responsible at all in highest truth. Now, we're taking this to first cause here. We're not ditzing around in duality here. We're talking from pure monism or Advaita, the highest state of perception is called Advaita, non-dualistic monism, which is God alone is all that is. So, likewise, there are no others, quote, quote, out there. There's only the one life, the one divine spirit, the one Atma, appearing as the many. And that's why whatsoever you do to another, you are doing only to yourself. So pay attention to what you're dishing out to another person, because that's the exact morsel that you're going to have to eat. And that eating of that whatever you've dished out is what we call karma. Now Jesus phrased it this way, whatsoever you have done to the least of these ones, you've done to me. And that is why we are to love our brother and sister as ourself, because in highest truth, they are ourself. As I mentioned, when I was a very little girl, I came in self-realized, and as a result of that, my initial imprint was that everyone in the world was an illusion, and only I was real. That was an interesting carry-through of a very strong consciousness imprint that I had really indelibly placed into my permanent atoms, so that I awakened in this life to that level. But, of course, every time we come here, it's because there's more for us to learn. There's no end to enlightenment. Enlightenment is absolutely infinite. The Master Moria said that enlightenment is infinite. So we don't have any concept of infinity here, because the human brain is calibrated to function in time and in the perception of distance and separation and differentiation. That's why to see and to perceive and to really see, capital S, you have to transcend the mind. The citta, the thought-generating mind, has to be transcended, which is what occurs when you go into a state of inner quietude and quiescence. After, I would say, about 15 minutes of meditation at the max, if you can just hang in there and meditate and chant your mantra, your mind will rise like a helium balloon. Your soul, let's say, your divine inner consciousness will rise like a helium balloon right above that Van Allen belt of thought stream matter that floats around your mind and that you tend to identify with, but is simply a stream of consciousness that's been conditioned by misidentification by everybody on the planet. The whole astral realm is created by the misidentifying of emotions. The whole lower mental realm is our collective miscreation of our thinking and our self-imaging in illusion. That's why we, as a collective, are responsible for the clearing of those realms as part of that ascension process. That also is an illusion, but let's say it's a functional operative within the illusion that is allowed. Just like you would take a thorn sometimes to remove another thorn, sometimes you use a functional illusion of temporary, let's say, techniques you could employ that takes you from the darkest, densest ignorance of self to the gradual happy dream of beginning to remember who you are, which is also a process of gradually coming awake and alive inside. So you go from the ego's nightmare to the happy dream of ascension and returning home to God, to finally where you awaken with a full realization that you are God. You are in God as God, ever one with God, and you remain as God created you. Never touched or affected one iota by the dream of the temptation, the dream of the separation, the dream of the fall, the dream of the banishment from the Edenic state of complete fellowship and oneness with God. You awaken from that dream. You know, in the Bible where it mentions that God caused the great sleep to come upon Adam, and when he was asleep, he took from Adam's side, from Adam's rib, Eve, and made a woman out of his own bone and flesh. And I believe, I was thinking about that, meditating on it earlier, and I believe I believe that's a metaphor for the separation of spirit into the Maya of manifestation or matter. There's only two energies according to one viewpoint in the Vedanta, and that is there is only Purusha, divine intention, and Prakriti, divine malleable light that takes densified form as matter. The woman is always a representative of life and of matter and material, the material elements of nature. That's why she is called Mata or Ma or Divine Mother or the Virgin Mary. It's that matter that is the manifest of God, but of itself has no separate identity. So when that was occurring, it never says in the scriptures that Adam ever awakened. He just went on with the rest of this falling from grace and being banished from Eden. So if you look at it esoterically, I believe the intention here is for us to understand that Adam is still sleeping. He never awakened. He's still dreaming in the play of intention and manifestation in the material realms. The divine scriptures are inward. They're not written in a book. But when you are ready to see, they come alive as you read the scriptures in a book, and they become open-ended in revelation. That's another marvelous thing that you find. So I'm getting off a little bit on my topic, so I'm going to segue back into the question, is there an elephant in your room which would represent an issue in your life that you've not faced and dealt with. It's that thing that keeps you from being totally at peace and feeling totally joyful within yourself. And like an elephant in the room, you really have to go to great lengths to ignore that it's there, to pretend it's not there, to rationalize and say, oh, I'm fine, everything's cool, and you're in your own inner purgatorial hell realms. So look, is there an issue, an elephant in the room of your inner consciousness? Everything in your life is there because at some time, upon some level, you have individually bought into it being real, it being an illusion. You have created, allowed, and promoted, and even requested whatever it is that's appearing in your life. Oh, yes, granted. It's usually at a level and place that you've long since forgotten. And most karma is generated, in fact, I could say all karma is generated, in an other than conscious state. If you were conscious, you wouldn't have bought into being the doer of that action, which, by the way, is the meaning of the word karma. It's a Sanskrit word that comes from the root word kri, K-R-I. Which simply means act or do. So karma is simply action. It's neither good nor bad. It is simply action that is done out of the separated self. Even if it's a saintly sense of self, there's good golden chains of karma as well as iron chains of karma. So the golden chains of karma would be like identifying with being a light worker or someone here of the ground crew to be of service to God, or me identifying with being Lady Athena. Yeah, it's a role I play within the quantum universe. Is that who I am? No, the same as you. I'm God. I'm divine. I'm purity. There's only one. So all of these names and definitions and labels and functions that we identify in time and space, even if they're wonderful, at some point are going to have to be gently laid aside like toys. When you mature spiritually and you awaken as God, you lay aside the toys of your spiritual infancy. You quietly lay them aside. You don't mock them and deride them. They're like the rungs of the ladder. And who knows, they may serve other people coming up behind you. But once you've gotten to the rooftop of spiritual awareness, your job then is to maintain it. And the only way it can be maintained in time and space is the constant, constant returning your mind to eternal oneness with divine source. You return as a repeating refrain. Just like you turn the wheel of karma by thinking of your negative past and all the bad things that happened to you, and they did you this, and they did you that, and they did you wrong, and you need revenge, and all that stuff. But when you're on the rooftop of divine awareness and you're still in a body and you want to be in a body, I certainly don't want to be anywhere else but on the earth at this time doing what I'm doing. What a wonderful time to be on earth at the time of the transformation of this whole planet, this awakening of every atom in creation through the grace of the Holy Spirit into a new form of manifestation. How cool is that? Who would want to miss it? So open your eyes and ask the Christ self that's within you, as the awakened one, as the anointed one, as the Son of God. Ask that part of yourself to please open your eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes that I may see. Grant me your vision. I want Deva Drishti. Deva Drishti is God's sight. I want to see God. I want to see the face of the Beloved everywhere I look. But to see the face of the Beloved without, you first have to see it in the mirror. Creation is just a big mirror that shows you who you are. And what you see without is actually how you feel about yourself within. It's a horrible thing, but it's true. It's like an ouch, that's true, and wow, I don't always like what I see out there. Well, beloved, if it's negative, it's not real. Remember, Jesus said in the Course in Miracles, nothing real can be threatened. Your reality is safe. It can't be threatened. And nothing unreal exists. Nothing unreal exists. It may look real, may feel real, it may play back to you as a reality simply because you bought into it being real, and it'll be real as long as you want it to be real. But in highest truth, the minute you've decided that that's not real and you no longer need it, it will vanish. How? By the light of your love, looking through your eyes as the objective soul, as the objective observer, as pure awareness. Just like that mirage disappears when you get close to it. So when you get close to God, everything dark and painful and dismal and horrible vanishes. Just like when your mom comes in and turns on the light and gently says, it's okay, honey. That was just a bad dream. It's okay, honey. The light's on now. Mommy's here. Everything is well. You know, it takes you a few minutes to realize, oh, I'm home in bed and my mom is there and the lights are on and all is well. So it's a very simple but very familiar analogy to our awakening from the nightmare of illusion. Today, many light workers are all caught up in what the cabal and the negative Illuminati and the this and the that and the this and the that are doing. They're all only shadow boxing with their own karmic creations that they've yet to make peace with. I don't see any of that stuff. It's absolutely a non-item in my life. I live in the heart of God, consciously. I am the love of God made manifest. That is my reality. And I have a very serene inner sense of self and sense of the world. But I also guard that by not feeding my mind all of that junk, not buying into all of those negative stories. Because you know the ego self is going to generate some sort of a fable to explain its existence because it wants to exist. It wants you to be dumbed out and ignorant of your divinity. So its whole agenda and its spawn, which would be the world that you seem to see outwardly and upon the CNN and the other media, that's the illusion that it would like you to buy into. And it keeps you entrained by fear. It's fed by fear. And how can you be afraid when you realize you're one with God and there's nothing else but God? Fear is impossible. So the whole thing of false evidence appearing real is the ego's agenda. It wants you to believe the false evidence and therefore be afraid, be very, very afraid, you know, and buy all of these things you never, ever need to address the imaginary illnesses that you concoct out of your fear. You know, all dis-ease vanishes when you see, oh my God, that's where those miracle healings occur sometimes now because people, not sometimes, in many, many cases, because people are cut slack. They're cut a lot of slack by sheer grace because the time is now to wake up. And many of you, it's your time to move from, to lay aside, okay? Lay aside the toys, your metaphysical toys and your esoteric toys and your religious toys and your God boxes and your cultural biases and all that crap. Lay it aside and get real. Awaken to the purity and the divinity that is your eternal identity. But you know what? You can stay and play and ditz around in the fallen, apparently fallen universes and play the Star Wars scenarios for as long as you get off on that. I mean, if that's your cake, have at it, eat it, have fun. But there's a lot of souls that are ripe and ready to move onward in the galactic tree of life to divine creation, not ditz around in the imitation creation that was allowed because of a misperception of self and buying into a separation from divine source that was allowed because you're creative. If you wanted to create a whole false creation, which is exactly what we've done, then that's allowed because this is a free will zone where you can have at it. You can have it any way you want. So in terms of the elephant in your room, when you are ready to confront that pain, okay, whatever that thing in your life that sits in you as less than pure love, pure joy, pure divine neutrality, pure acceptance, complete peace. Until you can discern every level of your being like it's a pellucid lake, you know, a lake that has a mirror surface with no agitation, nirvikalpa. Until your mind, your consciousness is like that, look for the elephant. It's lurking in the shadows. It's called karma. It's called something you have created that's coming around for you to deal with. I often call it the children of our consciousness. So instead of hiding from it, avoiding it, denying it, shoving it under the roof, the rug, thinking, well, another time, another place, another lifetime, no, this is the time. This is the time to graduate from Earth school. Wake up, the bell's ringing. And you can do it very simply by realizing in highest truth, I've never done any of this. Neither has anyone else, because nobody's ever been here in any real sense. Get it? When you realize that you've never really been here, except in a projection into separation and illusion, and you simply remember and remind yourself of this until it becomes as habitual to remember that you are divine or the holy emanation of the heart mind of God, when that is as automatic as your belief that you're anything less than that, then there will be no karma. As I said last week, there's no karma in Christ. When you're focused in soul transcendent awareness, there's no karma there. There's no doer there. That's why Jesus said, I of myself do nothing. It is the Father within me that does the works. He was speaking of the monad, that undifferentiated sense of atmic presence that is the self. Now, he had to pretend that he was an individual embodiment. He was really the creator himself. But he had to enter the holodeck as if he were a created human being himself so that he could walk through the whole scenario without buying into the illusion. And he succeeded. It only takes one person to do that, and that sets the energy field so that we can all follow that energy momentum, because one is the many, and many is the one. And here was one who remembered that he was the many. Tongue gets tied sometimes. But anyway, you get my drift. He walked absolutely in complete spiritual awareness through everything that the illusion presented to him. That was our corporate creation. There's only one Son of God, so that's all of us appearing as the many sons of God, because there's only one Father, Mother, creative source, and we are that. Can you follow my trend here? If you can embrace of it, if you can try it on for size and have some tea with it, Sai Baba says it's very, very simple to become self-realized. He said it would only take a minute of pure, undivided attentiveness to really asking yourself, am I my body? No, the body is, you know, your body keeps changing. Where was that body that was the fetus? Where is that body that was the newborn? Where's the body that was the toddler? Where's the body that was the child, the teenager, the adult, or possibly the old person now? Where's that person? So obviously you're not your body. Someday it may, if we don't go into pure light, it may die or look like it's dying, and then it's going to be either cremated or put in the ground, and it's going to go back into the elements of the earth. Is that you? How could it be you? You're made in the image and likeness of God. God is eternal life. Can eternal life create something that dies? That's impossible. Like creates like. Ideas leave not their source. We are ideas of love, birthed in the heart mind of God. We are God's own love made manifest into the realm of time and space, densification. We are the many in the one, and the one as the many. Try that on for size. Lead us, O Lord, from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality. Asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, rityorma amritamgamaya, om shanti shanti shanti. That's the prayer in Sanskrit. But the vibration makes your hair stand on end when it's repeated properly in Sanskrit. That's why Sanskrit is the language that causes the very nerve fibers of your inner and outer senses to come alive in divine realization. That's why mantras should be chanted in Sanskrit. That's the language of the illumined ones of each golden age. Sai Baba said it will be the language of the next golden age. So get out your Sanskrit primer. I took Sanskrit lessons for a while, but that will be what we will be speaking. That's called Devanagari. Devanagari means God's city. And Devanagari also refers to the language Sanskrit. It's God's language spoken in God's city, or the kingdom of God, if you like. Where is the kingdom of God? It is within you, as you. The kingdom of God is within you. You go inside, back to the center of your forehead, between your eyes. Take a deep breath. And ride that energy up until you sit like a golden Buddha between your ears. Or if you'd rather, see the cross of Golgotha. The cross of Golgotha is your skull. Golgotha means the place of the skull where Christ was crucified. Christ, the real crucified Christ, is that point within your inner mind. Back, if you draw a line from the third eye back into the center of your skull, and then draw a crossbar between your ears, you would have the cross within the place of the skull. The soul awareness is the Christ. On that cross of life and manifestation, that's the meaning of the cross. And on that cross, the false appears to die, because that's the illusion, but in truth conquers death and rises in resurrection to immortal life through and from the tomb of matter. What is the tomb of matter? Your body, beloved, your physical body. So you are, as soul, the resurrected Christ, that which is being awakened and rises to immortal life from the tomb of densified existence that you the heart of God. I wish I could sing for you the song that I used to use for the closing of each of my keynote, when I would speak. I would always close with this beautiful song that the Holy Spirit burst within me one day, spontaneously, as I was closing one of my talks. I generally am in silence, day after day, week after week. I actually only speak on Sundays, usually. And so my voice has kind of lost its ability to sing in the way it used to. So if I can sing at all, it's through the grace of God. But I'd like to try because it's so beautiful. So if I croak or squawk or whatever, just overlook that and ride the energy, okay? Because it's birthed out of the divine spirit. That is who we truly are. In highest truth, we have never left. We have never left the heart of God. Remain we still as God created us in original innocence and peace. And yet we extend the light of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. And yet we extend the love of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. But in highest truth, we have never left. We have never left the heart of God. Remain we still as God created us in original innocence and peace. Take a deep breath and own it. Fire it through the atoms of your being. I am purity itself. I am the one manifesting as the many. I am divine, forever united with my source. I have never been born, nor can I ever die, nor can I ever cease to be. I am eternal, pure, immortal, infinite love, expanding throughout myriads of worlds that were, that are, and are yet to be. I am the full, ever extending to the many, and yet remaining ever full. Like the flame that can ignite endless candles. I am the divine and holy fire itself. The fire of divine love, the fire of divine awareness, the fire of divine cognition. I am all that is, all that has ever been, all that ever shall be. And I am love. And all that is, I see as very, very good. That is the truth, beloved. If you want to play the games of separation, that's fine. Just be aware that there's an elephant in your room, and whether you deny it's there, or you pretend it's not there, or you rationalize and say, oh, that's not really an elephant. I'm just pretending. That's just my mind making up an elephant. There's not really an elephant there. Hello. If you're not at peace, if you're not in the unconditional love and joy of God, there's an elephant in your room. Don't feed it. Don't keep giving it hay. Bring it into the light of your divine awareness. And like the mirage, let your holy gaze shine it away. That's the simplest way to clear your karma. Otherwise, you need to go into the situation that is vexing your spirit, because it's not the issue that's the issue. It's the energy you have on the issue that's your issue, okay? As long as it doesn't sit in the loving of your heart, in the embracement of your acceptance, in your compassionate understanding, it's an elephant, and you're going to have to take care of it, because every time you keep denying it, you keep feeding it, and that elephant's going to grow into, it's going to be just gargantuan if you don't deal with it. It's not going to go away. And moreover, you're chained to the elephant until you have taken responsibility for managing it, because it's in the room, because you placed it in the room. So it's your creation, it's a child of your consciousness. And another truism, beloved, everything that you will ever see within and without is but yourself. You people who email me and say, oh, I've been implanted by the whoever, the whatever, and I've been this and I've been that. You know what? It's all so much ego storyline. I don't buy into an instant of it. To me, every one of you are an incarnation, a pure divine incarnation of the one divine spirit. That's how I see you. That's how I relate to you. That's how I can unconditionally love you. That's how I can ignore your nonsense and not give it any energy when you try to enlist me into your negative drama. That's why you don't get any response from me. I'm simply not going to buy into your lure, your bait there, your ego bait. I'm not going to buy into it. No matter what you say or what you do, I'm going to be true to the God self that I am. So if you write me a snarky email and you don't get a response, that's because I don't participate in your snark. That's yours to handle. So in the realm of buying into the karmic doings thereof, you only have to deal with your feelings. Your feelings are what cause it to be real, okay? It can be bad feelings, usually they're bad feelings, but they can also be good feelings where you have tremendous attachment to something that feels good, so that you keep delaying moving into your reality because you're attached to this phenomenal whatever it is. So that's the golden chain that binds you. You can be bound because you keep projecting your divinity on your guru or another teacher or something outside of yourself or a Bible or a religion or whatever. That can just as easily bind you to another repeated incarnation here as anything else. So that would be like a golden chain of karma. But it's still buying into something in the phenomenal world that is separate. You catch my drift here? Whenever you identify with a separation in any form of judgment or preference or opinionated stance, you have entrapped yourself in karma. And you're responsible for bringing that into some form of balance and resolution. You can release it through grace, cast it upon the Lord, the Christ, and step free through grace, because he is the one place you can dump it all and step free. That works for you? Sure worked for me. Dump it upon the Christ. Cast it upon the Christ. I cast this worry upon the Christ, and I step free through grace. I cast this hatred I have and this vengeance I have against so-and-so and so-and-what upon the Christ, and I step free through grace. I cast this fear, these panic attacks, these whatevers upon the Christ, and I step free through grace. I forgive myself for judging myself in that person and seeing them as different from myself. And I say to you all, I love you. God bless you. Peace be still. May the peace of God be with you now. That's why Jesus said to pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Overcome evil with good. Why do you think he said that? Because the only evildoer you will ever find are those elephants lurking in your inner compartments of consciousness. That's why Jesus said, lo, mine enemies are of mine own household. So all the boogeymen, the evil doers, the cabal, the whatever, whatever, the evil aliens, whatever the shtick is, it's all in your own unresolved consciousness. The energies that you have sent forth that now are coming home to you as some form of inner disquietude that only you can bring to peace. And you bring them to peace by bringing them to Christ. That's the simplest thing, is to set your default on grace. And that's where it's already been given to you, and all you need to do is receive it. And you do that through an act of faith. So I hope this seminar has opened you up so that you can see who you truly are, and remain eternally. God bless you. The peace of God be with you. And I love you, because I am the love That is who you are. Let's take a deep breath and go out singing, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. God bless you. God willing, I'll be with you next week. Baruch Hashem Adonai.